to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. It's so good to see you all out here today. And pray for God's continued blessing to be with you. This is a great time of year. We're not only thinking about the coming of Christ, we're thinking about the new year. And it's a good time, although we should always be thinking of what God's will is for our lives. Something about the change of the year focuses our attention on planning for the future, what God wants to do in our lives as a church, but I think also as individuals. And I think it's important that we do that. Amen. And keep us in prayer. Keep leadership in prayer. And we want to continue to move forward. We've seen some wonderful things happen in our church this past year, and we want to continue to move forward in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, as I begin this morning, I'd like to take you back to my experience of almost 5 years, not quite 5 years. And as many, if not all of you know, I was experiencing some health problems. Most notably, I had back pain, and it started off small and got worse and did different things to try to alleviate that. I did notice that I had some bleeding and couldn't do too much about that, and really didn't think too much of that. And after the fact, after my diagnosis, I realized that I had other long-standing issues going on regarding my health that related to my condition, but I really just didn't think too much about them, or I didn't want to think too much about them. As I mentioned a few moments ago, I tried various treatments to treat, you know, my pain and other things that were going on. I went and saw different doctors, and they surmised that maybe it was back spasms. I think one doctor thought my pain was in my head or I just wanted to get some drugs, which I didn't. And despite what treatments they gave me, not only did my problems persist, they got worse. These problems were different, but it turned out the different problems all had the same cause. And it wasn't, you know, the pain wasn't joyful in any means, but it wasn't a life, I didn't think it was a life-threatening type of thing. But it turned out the issue that was going on in my life was a much deeper, much more serious problem, a life-threatening issue. And when I finally got diagnosed and finally had a colonoscopy, the doctors determined that it had not just colorectal cancer, it was advanced. It was stage 4 and spread throughout my liver. And bless God, as the story goes, in fact, statistically, it was a very slim chance that I would be here today, less than 10%. So I give glory and honor and praise to God. And I don't want to give all the glory to the doctors. And I know God used medicine to help me recover. But I know it was the hand of the Lord. But it didn't start on that road of recovery until I was properly diagnosed and properly treated for the issue that was going on in my body. Relating to our spiritual walk, all of us struggle with different problems and issues of a spiritual nature. All of us, including those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior, all of us struggle at times with sin or fall into sin. We fail God, or we just struggle with our relationship with Christ, or we struggle with life itself. And some of these issues are surface issues. They're taken care of very simply with repentance. Either we made a mistake or we weren't thinking or we just haven't reached a place of maturity that we have needed to in Christ. But other of these issues, some of the sins or some of the struggles that we might be going through, are signs of something more serious that is going on in our lives. You know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand that it's God's will that He goes deeper. That we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just on the surface, that we just be surface Christians, but we serve God from deep down in our heart and soul. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 doesn't say, it is written, act holy, for God is holy. Scripture says in 1 Peter, it is written, be holy, because I am holy. God just doesn't want us to act like Christians, to do the Christian thing. And if we do the Christian thing, we'll please God, we'll be a good witness, and everything will be fine. God is more interested in what's going on inside of us. He wants us to be holy, or be people of true and deep Christian character. And there are some issues that we might have in our lives, and yes, some of them are just simple issues that can be rectified very simply. But other issues are deeper and requires the moving of God's Holy Spirit in our heart. And that's where the ministry of the Word comes in. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles, if I haven't mentioned already, to Hebrews chapter 4. I'd like to read verses 9 through 12 this morning by way of introduction and speak on the thought of recognizing the symptoms. Recognizing the symptoms. Hebrews 4, verse 9. Scripture says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Let's bow our hearts together. And let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word this morning. Father, we thank You for Your moving and Your blessing upon our lives. We thank You, God, for this time that we have to look to Your Word and ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to move upon us in a powerful way. God, I pray You give words to the speaker. And I pray, God, that You give us all ears to hear what Your Holy Spirit would have us to hear today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd first like to begin this morning by talking about the power of the Word of God. And verse 12 is really the scripture that we're focusing on this morning. The Bible says the Word of God is living and active. It talks about how not only powerful, but how real the Word of God is. You know, too many people, I think many people who don't know Christ, but even those of us who do know Christ, really undervalue or really don't appreciate how real and how powerful the Word of God is. I think many people operate under a misconception regarding the Word of God in that it's a good book full of good things. Some say it's a book of rules, and it is. And rules aren't a bad thing. And every parent knows that. Some look at it as a book of good advice, and there is a lot of good advice the Bible does tell us and share with us how to live and how to be happy. It is a book of wisdom. And of course, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is not the Word of God a book of promises? The promises of God are yea and amen. And thank God we have that written. We have that rock that we can go through when we go through different things in life. But according to this scripture, not just this scripture alone, but many others, God wants us to realize that this precious book, and I didn't bring my Bible up with me this morning and everything going on, although I've got bits of it on this piece of paper this morning. God wants us as believers to understand the Word of God is more than just a book. Once again, verse 12, the Bible says the Word of God is living. You might have the King James Version where it says the Word of God is quick and powerful. And that word quick does literally mean living. You know, it talks about Jesus judging the quick and the dead. And as it is living, this book that we go to for advice, and the Bible is all of those things. It does tell us and share with us the standard of righteousness that God expects. It does give us wise counsel. It does let us know what promises we can hold on to as far as our relationship with Jesus. But it's also a book that is alive. And alive in the greatest of senses. And I'm not trying to compare God to an amoeba, and I'm not trying to speak down about God, but, you know, There are different levels or manifestations of life, you know, all around us. You know, there's all kinds of stuff floating in the air and in our bodies. You know, there's bacteria and different things. It's life where we may or may not be aware of it. Of course, if there's certain organisms that aren't alive and working in your body, you'll know it very quickly. I don't need to get into the details of that. But it's nothing that we would want to have a conversation that we give no thought of. But then there are those of us who are here today, and I don't mean to preach on this morning, but remember, when you come to God's house to worship, the people that you are worshiping with are living, breathing people who are not only people who are here and part of our body as we come together to worship God, but people who sometimes are in need and definitely do deserve some kind of interaction because they are people. And so it is with the Word of God. It is not an it is a who. The Word is a living person. And as such, it is not just something that we receive. I'm going to receive knowledge or counsel or faith by reading this book. I am communicating, I am sharing with a living, breathing person. It is a divine book because the Word of God is divine. Literally, what the Word of God is a manifestation of God Himself. An embodiment of God in no small way, but an embodiment of God in His fullness. One of my favorite Christmas scriptures, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, is from John chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, "The Word, this book that we read, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." How many would have loved to have seen Jesus? I would have loved to have seen Jesus before, and even more so, I would have loved to have seen Jesus after the resurrection, the nail prints in His hand. And someday we will. Amen? But we can see Jesus now. I've got to grab a Bible because I can't preach about this without a prop. I shouldn't say it's not a prop. Excuse me. You understand where I'm coming from. Amen. This is Jesus. Everything we need to know about Jesus is contained in these 66 books. But it's not just a manifestation of or He. Of just one aspect of the Trinity, of the God that we serve. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 24, Jesus said regarding this wonderful book, regarding the Word of God, "These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." The Word of God is also the Heavenly Father. No man has seen God at any time. The Son hath declared Him. But we can experience the Father in His fullness through the Word. And as Pentecostal believers, don't we want to experience the Spirit of God moving and working in our lives in His fullness? And as we've been discussing this fall, as we've talked about and been focusing upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit is more than just a tingle and a thrill. And I'm not trying to downplay experience. I thank God for the feelings of blessing, peace, euphoria, joy that I experience when the Holy Spirit is moving and working in my life. But to experience the Holy Spirit of God without the Word, I won't say it's not experience the Lord at all, but far less than what God has intended us to experience. Ephesians 6:17 reading, "Take," I'm talking about the armor of God, "take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And according to our text this morning, the Word of God is not just, not only a way, the way that we can experience God in His fullness, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is also something that will reach deep down in our souls and make us into the people that God has called us to be. Once again, verse 12, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart." So where does that bring us today as far as the ministry of the Word and the struggles that we go through? Well, as believers, just like I was with my cancer, you know, the cancer. I had someone correct me, don't take ownership of it, amen. But just like, you know, I had these symptoms. And until I was properly diagnosed, I didn't know what was going on in my body. And you and I need to realize as we serve Jesus that some issues, some struggles, some sins, if you would, that we go through aren't just problems in and of themselves. They are symptomatic of deeper issues that are going on in our lives. We saw this in the last couple of weeks when we talked about Saul. Saul was a man who started out great, but ended up being a man of disobedience. And as we looked at his life, and actually as we look closely to his word, we saw his issue just wasn't an issue of simple willfulness. But he was a man who was plagued by fear. Fear moved him to that place of sin or disobedience. And then we dug a little bit deeper as we looked at the Word of God and saw that his fear was fueled, if not initiated, by a strong feeling of pride within his life. And you and I, if there are deep issues in our lives, and the issues can be issues of character, but they also can be deep wounds that we have had inflicted upon our lives that we've never allowed God to heal. And so under the surface, they continue to fester and continue to plague our relationship with God and with other people. And so we're having these surface issues in our lives. Perhaps they're sin. Perhaps they're other things. And we try dealing with them in a surface manner. And they don't get away. And they don't go away. Very possibly that could be a sign that there is something deeper going on in our lives. What are some of the symptoms? Well, one symptom I think that we experience as believers that may indicate that there's something deeper going on in our lives is persistent sin. Things we can't get the victory over. Sometimes it's just sin that gets a hold of our lives, but sometimes we act out, so to speak, in sin because there's a deeper spiritual issue going on. And it keeps moving us to this place of weakness and disobedience. You know, we sin, we fail, and we ask God to forgive us, we repent, and so on and so forth. But a few days or weeks or even months go along, everything's fine, and all of a sudden we find ourselves doing that sin again. We find we're not as strong as we should be. Just like someone who has a deeper issue and whose immune system might be weakened, so we are weakened spiritually when we face the challenges and temptations that might be in our lives. I think one classic sign that there might be a deeper issue going on is, and I don't want to say this is a surface issue because it's a serious issue in and of itself, but is that of addiction in all of its forms. You know, and I think the first thing that comes to mind when we think of addiction is drugs and alcohol, and that is. But really, people can be and are addicted to many, many things. It's not just substance abuse, you know. Some people are, addicted to internet or, you know, video games or pornography or, you know, all kinds of things. Or food, all those different things that, you know, we can look to. And why do we look to those things? Well, one big reason why we turn to things to try to find some either escape or satisfaction in our souls is because we've lost spiritual health. Because if we are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives should be changed not only on the outside, but even more so on the inside. In fact, our lives can't change on the outside if the inside isn't changed. And if we truly know Jesus and we're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, then our lives are to be marked by what we read about in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This really wasn't my experience until actually after I was diagnosed, but I know many people that I've spoken with who've had cancer, maybe some other major thing going on, and they didn't really understand it. One of the symptoms that they experienced was fatigue. They're always tired, and they didn't understand, you know, why am I tired? Maybe it's, you know, I just need to eat better, or take iron pills or whatnot, or get more sleep, and it doesn't change anything. As believers, our lives are to be filled with joy. We should have the peace of God that passes all understanding. We should be kind. And not a forced kindness. It just should be part of our nature. We're just kind. We shouldn't really have to work at it. In fact, you know, it's not the message today, but if you work at knowing God and being filled with His Holy Spirit, you won't have to work at being kind at all. It'll just be part of who you are as a believer. You struggle with grumpiness or depression or irritability. Those types of things. Why is that? Because you're not spirit. There's something going on deep down inside you that is sucking out your spiritual health. And you're being far less of a believer that God wants you to be. For some, it's the issue, and I think this, actually, this one word describes all the different symptoms that signify something deeper spiritually going on, that being stagnation. You're stagnant in your spiritual walk, and you're not seeing any victories. You know, I thank God in knowing Jesus that it's not a matter of I accept Christ as my Savior and then even, you know, I go the next step and then I receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit and, you know, I'm speaking in other tongues and so forth. And then I finally made it and I'm filled to overflowing now with God's presence and I can't or I shouldn't because I don't need to expect anything more. But that's not the way I've experienced Christ, unless you know I'm spiritually sick. That's not the way I read how a person's life is to be who knows Christ as Lord and Savior. Our relationship with Jesus should be growing every day. His presence in our life should be growing every day. The blessings that I receive and the love and the mercy, you know, all those things, the power of knowing God should be growing every day. We should be continually getting higher and higher or deeper and deeper, depending on what imagery you'd like to look at. But if there's something going on, we're stagnating in our spiritual walk. And I found a quote that I think speaks to that. It's an important point that the reason we may not be experiencing major victories in our lives or breakthroughs is because we're not willing to wage the major battle that is going on deep in our soul. So we know that God wants to go deep in our lives, and he does for two reasons. Number one, he wants to be glorified. You know, a Christian who is stagnating, for whatever reason, stagnating in sin, stagnating in his joy, stagnating in victory, is not putting forward the testimony that God wants us to put forward. That we can and should be set free in Jesus' name. And that God's no respecter of persons. And if I'm set free, you can be as well. But also, God doesn't want to see His children live in misery. He wants us to see it. He wants to see us set free from things and set free in joy and in peace and all those wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit. So it's God's will that we go deep, and sometimes, you know, symptoms aren't necessarily a bad thing. In fact, had I realized the symptoms that I was going through a little bit earlier, I might not have had to go through almost 2 years of chemotherapy and then 2.5 years afterwards of maintenance therapy as far as cancer. Although, I don't begrudge God at all, and I don't look back with regret. I'm not trying to get personal this morning, but I won't tell you why, but I'm actually happy because, well, I'll tell you why. Had it been caught earlier before it was stage four, and what stage four means it's distant from the original tumor, and literally my liver was loaded, I would have had to have surgery, and I think I've shared this before as I've shared my testimony. I would have had to have had surgery, and it's a difficult surgery with some complications and some lifestyle changes and whatnot. Thank God I got delivered from all that. Amen. However, in looking at my situation after the fact, when I finally received the news, you've got cancer, and looking back, not just at the past month or so that I was experiencing, you know, the back pain and the bleeding and whatnot, but looking at other things over the past year, year and a half, I recognized, well, there were signs. But for whatever reason, and there were many, I didn't pursue a doctor to see if those things meant anything more than just a back pain or some other things that I might be going through. several reasons why I didn't allow a doctor to dig deeper in my life. Number one, I rationalized my symptoms away. Every problem that I had, I said, well, you know, it's just, you know, back strain. You know, I hurt my back shoveling or whatnot. And the bleeding was, you know, there's things you can rationalize away on that. The last thing on my mind was that I had cancer, because up to that point, I was healthy. I was relatively speaking young, depending on how old you are. That type of cancer is not something that they even want, encourage you to be screened for until you're 50 years old, and I was at the time not 50. I'm still not 50, but I will be a year from now. And we do that the same as far as some of the spiritual issues that are going on in our lives. The sins that we can't get over, the breakthroughs that we're not experiencing, the loss of joy or peace, you know, the attitudes that rise up within our soul that don't please God. We dismiss them as minor. We had a momentary weakness or a bad day. Don't allow the Holy Spirit to come in and examine our lives deeper to see if there's anything more serious going on. On the other hand, and I can't say that the idea of cancer was completely out of my mind, because it was there a little bit, but I would keep rationalizing it away. But there are other things that I've dealt with that I thought may be serious, and they just kind of went away. You ever have that? Or you ever have some? And I think this is especially true of guys. You know, and forgive me if I'm being sexist this morning, but you know, you got something, you know, not quite right going on, and you just hope it'll go away. You know, other things went away. I do that with toothaches. You know, it's just going to go away. I don't have to see it then. We do that as far as sin. Or, you know, well, tomorrow I'll feel better. Or tomorrow I'll finally get victory over this thing. Or tomorrow I'll finally have the breakthrough that I'll be looking for. In fact, we even use the Holy Spirit as an excuse to not allow the Holy Spirit to dig deeper in our lives and see if there's something more serious going on. Holy Spirit will take care of it, and He will. But sometimes in our lives, things are so deep, the wound is so deep, or the character is so deep that deliverance according to the will of God, and yes, He can do things in an instant, but sometimes deliverance or healing is a long and painful process. How do we do that? Male and female, we do that. I think it relates to fear. I know some people, they have physical issues, and they don't want to go see the doctor, not because they don't care or they don't think it's anything, but they're afraid. They're afraid of what they might find. They might not be able to handle it. And they're afraid to go through the process. And let me tell you, one of the last things I wanted to do was go through chemotherapy. In fact, before this all happened, I thought to myself, oh, if I ever had cancer, I'd just let the thing happen, let the thing run its course, because I don't want to go through all that I've heard about and seen people go through. Obviously, I've changed my mind. And when you got a family, you have to do that. Amen. Praise God. But there's a spiritual fear of allowing God to go below the surface and deal with the issues in our heart. The fear might be God opening doors that we don't want open because maybe they're too painful. Or issues that are too close to our heart. Or third, and this is right along with this, when we allow God to speak to our hearts to go deeper, then we become more accountable before God. You know, people say ignorance is bliss, but really it isn't, especially in serving Christ. Because and not allowing God to come in and dig deep and do a great work in our lives. We sentence our lives to being something far less than God has intended it to be. Sometimes we try to put a Band-Aid on serious injury. You know, I tried several things to alleviate my pain and discomfort. You know, different medicines, different... In fact, the doctor at one point, one doctor I talked to wanted me to do physical therapy. And actually, exercise did help my pain, but it didn't solve my problem. And all those things were legitimate remedies. They're, you know, I wasn't like I was going to acupuncture or some kind of, you know, weird thing. And we do the same thing as far as some of the spiritual issues in our lives. We seek to put a spiritual Band-Aid. And let me tell you, what cures? What is the cure of all ills? And the answer is not a what, it's a who. It's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ working and moving in our lives and bringing us from a place of spiritual sickness to a place of spiritual health. But aren't we today a people of spiritual quick fixes who try to put Band-Aids on things so it doesn't get too personal or painful? Maybe I'll just get a book. And let me tell you, I'm not despising any of these things. These are things that might be part of your treatment. Let me tell you, I continued to take pain medicine until actually 1 week after I started chemotherapy, and then God just did an amazing work and shrunk the tumor that was pressing up against my spine to the point where I didn't have hardly any pain at all, and I didn't have to take that stuff. Some spiritual quick fixes we have, well, I'm just going to get a book, or I'm going to get prayed for after the service, or I'm just going to seek someone's advice. All those things are great, and I'm not saying don't do those things. But let me tell you, if you got something serious going on, in fact, even if you've got something surface going on, the only cure to that ill is the moving and working of God through the power of His Word, healing, restoring, changing, and cleansing your heart, that deep place that is within you. Some people don't allow God to come in because they've given up. And they stop the fight. I know how bad it can be. I was very frustrated before I was diagnosed, actually, because I was just under constant pain, and the pain got worse. I mean, day, night, and there was no, I couldn't sit, stand, lie down. Every position was painful. And before I found out what was going on, I thought, you know, this is just something. And I've known many people who've had back issues and who live in constant pain. So this is something I just got to learn to live with. And some people have this same approach to the spiritual issues in their lives. I'm just going to have to learn with the guilt and shame that I have every day because I keep falling into this sin. I just have to live with the fact that I'm not going to be as joyful as maybe I once was or this person is or that person is. I'm just going to have to live with the fact that I've hit a spiritual ceiling. And I'll have no further breakthrough. I won't get more of God or become more of whom God wants me to be. Go deeper in my relationship with God. There are people like that in health or in the natural, and there are people like that in the spiritual. But we should never discount the power of the ministry of the Word of God. First and foremost, we must understand that it's not God's will for us to allow serious spirit, light, definitely, but serious spiritual issues to remain unchecked and unchanged in our heart. To keep around those deep-seated things that are, or deep wounds. God wants us. God wants to be glorified through our lives. And He wants us to be filled with that joy of being set free. And right along with that, we must understand, and our text this morning bears this out, that it's God's will to go deeper into our hearts and lives, whether you want to or not. Whether you're displaying symptoms or not. You know, many of the symptoms I had, when I was talking to my doctor about the cancer, and I asked him, how long do you think I had this? And he said, you've had it for years. As far, and literally, you couldn't count the number of tumors that were in my liver. And that just doesn't happen overnight. And up until January, February, when I started having back pains, I had hardly any symptom. In fact, I just had a physical several months before. Everything was fine. My liver, as bad as it was functioning normally. Blood levels. In fact, the blood test that made my GI doctor recommend having a colonoscopy said, well, you're just a little anemic. Wasn't anything serious going on. A lot of times, everything could be fine on the outside, but there's stuff way down deep that's going on. And God not only wants to deal with it, God will deal with it if we will let Him. So we must understand that that's God's will for our lives, to dig deep and to set us free from anything that hinders. And this is where the ministry of the Word comes in. First and foremost, and beyond just the... And I'm not trying to say this is less of God. It's a wonderful book, but the Word of God is living and powerful. It is something that moves and works within our lives. What the Word of God does, it diagnoses us correctly. You know, on the one hand, you got people who deny they're sick at all. You know, I don't want to think about it. But on the other hand, and this is very important because I don't want to leave people with this impression either, you got people who are, what do they call them, hyperchondriacs? Where you know, they get a headache. Oh, it's a brain tumor. You know, that type of thing. You know, it's always the worst thing. And one of the things I worried about or I was concerned about as I was preparing this message, people are going to leave here and think, oh, you know, I swore today. Maybe there's some kind of deep-seated issue that's going on in my life. I tell you what, one of the most discouraging, this happened to Judy's daughter, Melissa, where she got a phone call. And some of you know because you talked with Judy and we prayed for Melissa. And Melissa's expecting. And she had her first ultrasound and whatnot and everything looked fine. But then she gets this call. And the doctor says, you may have this heart issue, and so please call our office. And she was at work, and it was like on a Friday, and of course, she couldn't call till the following Monday to find out what was going on. Now, if someone tells you you have something in the day and age that we live in, what do you do? Oh, I wonder what that is. I'm not too worried about it. Especially if you're carrying a child. You get online. And you find, and she got online. And the right, you know, it said a lot of things, none of them good. One of the things it said is that people who have this condition usually only have a life expectancy of 3 to 5 years from diagnosis. And here she's carrying this baby. Well, it turns out that she does have a hole in her heart, so please continue to lift her up in prayer and pray that God would be with her and be with her baby, and the baby's in no peril either. And then after she has the baby, they'll be able to take care of that hole in her heart and everything will be fine. You know, thank God for that. But, you know, we can allow our minds to wonder. The thing that will determine And oftentimes you can't determine it yourself. In fact, when do we become aware that we're sinners? When the Holy Spirit comes and opens up our hearts and our minds to the reality of our shortcomings before God. And it's the same as far as the deep issues that we might be struggling with. We can't go by what we think. We can't even go by what other people say. We have to allow the Holy Spirit, as we study the Word of God speaking to us, as we pray, and as some may be moved by the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And you will know that you've got something going on, because if God senses and wants to deal with some type of deep issue in your life and reveals it to you through either His Word or through the still small voice of His Spirit or through another believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will bear witness with you. In fact, if it's that spiritual voice, and in fact, if it's our minds going crazy, chances are it's not a deep issue. But the Word of God is more than just a diagnostic tool to let us know what's going on in our life. It's powerful. It's living. It's active. Once again, verse 12, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The Word of God is like a skilled scalpel in the hands of an expert surgeon that can go in and cut out disease, reshape, reform, remake, and make whole. You know, correct diagnosis is important. And allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and to search out our hearts and lives, because just like in the natural realm, God will not, He can do whatever He wants, but He will not do anything in us unless we allow Him to. He needs our cooperation. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. What God finds, He cures. But we have to allow Him in, and we have to allow Him to work within us. And so this morning, I'd like us just to stand. Praise God. One final personal thing I'd like to share with you as we prepare to conclude the message this morning. Before I got sick, I never seriously considered the fact that I would be sick, because I always just felt good. And it wasn't like, you know, a name it, claim it type of thing. You know, I don't view people who are sick as people who are less in faith. I mean, sickness is just part of the fact that we're human beings and our bodies age and get older. I was just never at that place where I felt, especially at that point in my life, maybe later on, where I could have something serious going on. And I think a lot of times that's the way we are. Spiritually, we don't give consideration to the fact that there might be some deeper things that are going on in our lives. And maybe we're not out there constantly falling into sin, but we're not where we could be in Christ, and we're not experiencing what we could be in our relationship with Jesus. God just doesn't wait till you're stage 4 to come in and do a work. If I went to a doctor when I just had, forgive the imagery, when I just had a little polyp, The doctor wouldn't have said, well, come back when you're stage four. He would have taken care of it then. I could have avoided all this mess, but on God's plan. God wants to minimize our pain and suffering. And he wants to come in. He wants to dig down deep below the surface and make us people of God from not just the inside out, but from the deepest places of our hearts to the outside. And the question I leave with you today, are you willing to let him do that? Are you willing to open up your heart and let God come down deep inside? Or when you start feeling the tug of the Holy Spirit, you shut the door. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to think about it. And I understand it's painful. And I understand it's painful not only because I've gone through cancer, but I understand it's painful because I've had deep wounds and pains and struggles and character flaws that I didn't want the Holy Spirit to deal with for the number of reasons that I've shared. Sometimes we don't want God to touch those things because we don't want to be confronted with the ugliness of who we are as people. But why stay ugly down deep inside? Why not let it go in Jesus' name and allow God to take it from us? Let us pray together this morning. Let's ask God not to do a deep work because he will, but that God would allow us to allow him to come in and do the work that is necessary within our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and praise you so much. We thank you for the power and the grace of the Word of God, the words of the Father, the Word made flesh, Jesus, the sword of the Spirit. And we're so thankful today that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it digs deep, it cuts deep down to the very core of who we are. God, there may be times in our lives, and I dare say all of us have times in our lives where we have deep issues going on, deep wounds, deep flaws, deep sins, that God, we are either unaware of or unwilling to allow you to deal with. So God, we ask that you would remove from us, in your precious name, any inhibition to allowing your Holy Spirit to do that complete, deep work within our lives in the name of Jesus. For some of us, it might be pride. And God, I pray that you would forgive us of our pride because pride has put a wall between your Holy Spirit and our hearts. We don't want to be seen as people who are weak, who have either deep hurts or deep struggles. God, we're used to being looked up to as paragons of strength in the faith. But God, that aspiration, as noble as it is, has led to years of suffering. So we ask that you'd forgive us. Give us, Lord, the humility and the courage. Open up our hearts to let you come in and change us in the name of Jesus. God, we know by faith that if we allow you to come in because your word is living and powerful, you will make us whole and strong and complete in Jesus' name. It's one of those great paradoxes, God. That God, as you take away the flesh, God, we become greater in spirit. We thank you and we praise you for the good work that you continue to do in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together, of course, in closing. And as we do, there might be people here and you're struggling with surrender, opening up your heart to God, and no one's here to judge you, let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit, if the Word of God has been knocking on the door of your heart, saying, I want to come in, there's some deep work that needs to be done, and you've been resisting that. Sometimes we resist it knowingly, but a lot of times we resist it unknowingly or subconsciously. You know, we just don't want, you know, to coin a phrase, don't go there. God, we don't want you to go there. I would encourage you, in all seriousness, before you leave today, to open up the door of your heart to God and allow Him to come in and begin that process. And if it's a deep issue, it may take some time and you might have to go through some discomfort, but it will be worth it. It will be more than worth it. Not only for yourself, but for so many other people that you come in contact with. For some, it might be, listen, and I feel this is of the Holy Spirit this morning. There may be some here. Your family's spiritual well-being depends upon you allowing God to do a deeper work in your life. Because in you staying where you are, you're hindering your family from moving forward. I hope that's no one here. But if that's someone here, if God is speaking to you, allow God to begin the process today. Your spouse, your children, others in your family are depending on you. They don't even know it, but you're being a hindrance because you're not allowing God to work within you. And this is especially true, and I don't have anyone in mind, believe me. This is especially true of fathers and husbands. Because we are the leaders, whether we want it or not, we are the spiritual leaders in our homes. God help us, I pray. Amen. Name of Jesus to allow His work. And I understand I've been there and I probably will be there. But let the Holy Spirit come in. Let the Word of God come in. Let Him do a great work this morning. In Jesus' name. Let's sing together.